person that sits over in the corner, probably poorly dressed, wearing a bad wig, cheap socks with high heels, and stinking of way too much perfume. All the party guests would stare in the general vicinity, but not making real eye contact. Who is it? Did you invite him? Do you know him? But it doesn't matter, because she knows me. If she's over there in the corner, staring at you, not smiling, this is how depression and anxiety manifest themselves in my life. Now, I've come to accept that I've always functioned as sort of baseline melancholy my whole life. I've always been very sensitive, very thin-skinned, and painfully aware of my emotions and the emotions of other people. So, alas, all through my grade school and high school, this made me a target for bullying. So, when the time came for me to graduate from high school, I wanted to get out of Baltimore on the first day of smoking. So, I got the right idea to join the United States Navy. Why a person who is functioning at a baseline melancholy and extremely sensitive would think something like this is a good idea is beyond me. But nonetheless, that's what I chose to do in all my life. So fast forward, I served 7 years on a view, and some of those 7 years were sponsored on a ship. Now, if you know anything about shipboard living, very close quarters, you never get a moment to yourself. Your whereabouts are accounted for at all times. Even if you are using the stall in the bathroom, there's someone using the one next to you, coming in, brushing their teeth, brushing their hair, drying their hair, taking a shower. You never get a moment to yourself. So, I spent the last 2 years of my enlistment daydreaming of how perfect my life would be when I finally got that moment to myself. And the day came and went. I was honorably discharged, uneventfully. And I did get those moments to myself. But what I discovered was that I didn't like myself very much at all. In fact, I hated myself. But instead of dealing with that self-loathing and self-hatred, I knew what I had to do. I had to continue to disprove the stereotype of a lazy black girl and get busy on accomplishments. So that's what I did. I went to school, started my bachelor's degree, I bought a house, I bought a car, paid it off, got a good government job, but still didn't feel much like anything at all. And so, when I mentioned that house, by that time, when I was in the deep throes of my depression and anxiety and now paranoia, I had convinced myself that the first floor of my house was haunted with the spirit of the person that lived there before me, so I had relegated myself to sleeping in the basement. And I also worked an 11-to-7 midnight shift, which only served to make me sicker because I wasn't sleeping well at all. Now, the thing with therapy, although it's getting better, but by and large, therapy in the African-American community is seen as a sign of weakness and a luxury for white people. So, there was no way I was going to go to therapy. I mean, hell, my ancestors survived the Rite of Passage, they survived the horrors of slavery, they survived Jim Crow, pre-civil rights. Hell, my own family are Caribbean immigrants who came here in the late 60s with nothing, and they made something of themselves. So what the hell was my problem? I wasn't sick. I was ungrateful. I'm grateful because I had a house, I had a roof over my head, I had food in my belly, it still wasn't thankful. And I stand here before you as the manifestation of the consummate broodmare, superhero black woman, a stereotype that we both know and adore at the same time, which only starts to make us sicker because we won't ask for help. So, I finally decide when things start spinning out of control, all of a sudden, And no one knew where I was going between the hours of 8 and 9, which I went after I got off the breaking machine on the FSA. And it was a great source of shame and secrecy what I was doing between those that I had. So, and I didn't want to keep the secret anymore. So I finally did tell my mom.